Welcome to the Deep Dive. You know, public schools in America, they're often talked about as these incredible melting pots, places where you get this just kaleidoscope of ideas, different beliefs, backgrounds, all converging. But sometimes just one piece of legislation pops up and it ignites this huge national conversation, you know, about what schools are for, who they serve. And that's exactly what we're diving into today. We're looking at a recent Texas bill. It mandates displaying the Ten Commandments in every public school classroom, a move that's definitely stirred up a lot of debate. And, well, for good reason. For this deep dive, we're drawing from a source that really lays out the different angles, the arguments, the history, the potential impacts. So our mission today is to really unpack this complex issue. We'll look at the history, the arguments for and against, the impact on students and schools, and how Texas fits into the bigger picture with other states. The goal is for you to walk away with a really solid grasp of this whole discussion. Okay, so let's start with the core idea behind the Texas bill. From the proponent's side, what's the stated intention?
Well, they say it's about promoting moral values, religious education, by putting the Ten Commandments front and center. They see it as a way to instill sort of ethical principles, give guidance from biblical teachings, like getting back to basics, maybe.
Right. And if you connect that to the broader national conversation happening around education, religion, constitutional rights, you see where this fits. Supporters, especially, you know, from more conservative circles, they definitely see it as a step towards restoring traditional values. They feel society's maybe lost its moral compass a bit. And for them, the Ten Commandments aren't just historical texts. They're a key cultural touchstone, something that helps build character, responsible citizenship.
That's a strong framing. Mm-hmm. But like you said, this isn't exactly new ground, is it? This idea of religious texts in schools, it has a history,
yeah.
A long one, and pretty contentious, often running right up against that principle of separation of church and state.
Oh, absolutely. You saw big pushes back in the 1950s, states trying to mandate these kinds of displays. But they kept running into legal challenges, and that led to some major Supreme Court decisions. The big one, really, was Stone v. Graham in 1980. That ruling was pretty clear. Displaying the Ten Commandments in public schools. Unconstitutional. Why? Yeah. Because it was seen as having no secular purpose. It was primarily religious.
No secular purpose.
Okay. And the framework often used for these kinds of cases is the Lemon Test. It came out of Lemon v. Kurtzman in 1971. Think of it as a three-part check. One, does the government action have a secular, non-religious purpose? Two, does its main effect neither help nor hurt religion? And three, does it avoid, you know, excessive government entanglement with religion? If it fails any of those prongs, it's generally considered unconstitutional. Stone v. Graham failed that first one, the secular purpose test.
Okay, let's unpack this. So this is the first time this has come up,
yeah.
And there's a clear legal history here.
Yeah.
So why the push now? What are the arguments supporters are making today, knowing about Stone and Lemon? I gather it's still focused on promoting moral values, helping kids know right from wrong,
mm-hmm.
building that moral compass.
It is, but they've also refined the argument a bit.
Yeah.
It's not just individual morality. They talk a lot about civic responsibility, linking it to principles like respect, integrity, accountability, things most people agree on. Representative James White in Texas, he put it pretty directly. He said, displaying the Ten Commandments in classrooms acknowledges our cultural heritage and can inspire students to act with virtue.
Acknowledges cultural heritage. Interesting.
Yeah, and some religious leaders frame it that way too. Reinforcing heritage, identity. They argue it's meant to spark dialogue about ethics and values, not just be purely religious. Kind of positioning it as a foundational text for understanding Western culture, maybe, for all students.
Okay. And then either side, the opposition. What are their main points? I imagine the separation of church and state is front and center there.
Mm.
That worry about government endorsing Christianity.
Absolutely. That's the number one concern.
Right.
Critics argue that mandating this display is an endorsement of Christianity, and that naturally risks alienating students from different religious backgrounds or, you know, students who aren't religious at all.
Right. What's fascinating here is how these two sets of arguments, one emphasizing values and heritage, the other constitutional principles and inclusivity, really frame the core tension of this debate. Opponents really hammer the inclusivity point. For non-Christian students, non-religious students, could it make them feel like outsiders? Could it create pressure to conform, even subtly?
Huh.
That undermines the whole idea of a welcoming, harmonious learning environment for everyone. Makes sense. And then there's the practical side, the legal challenges. They're almost guaranteed. Groups like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the ACLU, they've already said they'll sue if this becomes law.
Which means?
Which means potentially huge legal bills for school districts. Money and time spent on lawsuits instead of, you know, education.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. It moves from policy to the everyday experience of students and educators. What about those practical impacts? Does displaying the Ten Commandments actually make some kids feel excluded or alienated? Well, think about it. Schools are supposed to be places where all kids feel like they belong, right? Where they feel seen and valued. For a student who maybe follows a different faith or have no faith background, seeing the Ten Commandments displayed by the school day in and day out, yeah, it could definitely create some discomfort.
Mm.
Does it make them feel like their beliefs, or lack thereof, aren't equally respected? Does it maybe make them hesitant to talk about their own background or ask questions? These might seem like small things, but they can really affect how kids interact with each other, how comfortable they feel at school.
And what about the schools themselves, logistically?
Well, there are challenges there too. Which version of the Ten Commandments do they display? There are different ones. How do they manage this requirement alongside everything else in the curriculum? And how do they handle complaints or concerns from parents and students who object? It puts schools in a potentially difficult position, trying to follow the law while also keeping the peace and maintaining an equitable environment.
Right. It's not simple. Now, you mentioned this is part of a broader conversation. This isn't just happening in Texas, right?
Not at all. If we connect this to the bigger picture, you see that Texas is part of a larger national trend, or at least a recurring debate. Each state is kind of grappling with this in its own way.
Okay, like where else?
Well, take Kentucky. Their legislature approved a bill allowing schools to display the Ten Commandments, but it was discretionary, not mandatory. Even so, it faced pushback. The result? It's been mixed. Some districts went ahead, others held back, probably worried about those legal uncertainties we talked about.
Okay.
Tennessee, they passed a law saying schools can display them, but alongside other historical documents.
Ah, trying that historical context angle.
Exactly. Trying to frame it as history or civics, not just religion, to maybe get around those Establishment Clause issues. But it definitely stirred up public debate there. Then you've got Arkansas. They've been more hesitant. Attempts to pass similar laws failed, largely because lawmakers were worried about, well, losing in court.
Understandable.
But in Florida, you've seen maybe more support, often driven by local voter groups, pushing for what they see as traditional values in public life. So you see this pattern. Texas is definitely part of this larger movement, but how it plays out varies quite a bit state by state. Mm. Different strategies, different levels of success or resistance.
So what does this all mean for the future? Let's look ahead. For this Texas bill specifically, it sounds like the legal hurdles are pretty significant.
They really are. Legal experts are pretty much lined up saying a mandate like this seems to run directly counter to how the Establishment Clause has been interpreted for decades.
That's the First Amendment Clause,
yeah.
Right? About government not establishing a religion.
Right. And it's not just about setting up a national church. Courts have consistently said it means government, including public schools, can't endorse or favor one religion over others or religion over non-religion, because doing so could feel coercive or make people feel like outsiders based on their beliefs. So past cases like Engle v. Vitale back in 62, that was the one banning mandatory school prayer, and definitely the Lemon Test from 71, they set strong precedents. This Texas bill could easily be challenged for, again, lacking that primary secular purpose, or for clearly promoting tenets of Christianity and Judaism. And beyond the big constitutional questions, there are those practical compliance issues for schools we mentioned. Which text? What size? Any context needed. It's almost certain that if this Texas bill is fully enacted, we'll see major lawsuits filed very quickly.
And those cases could go far.
Oh, absolutely. They could become landmark cases, setting new precedents for religious expression in schools across the entire country. What happens in Texas likely won't stay in Texas.
So what does this all mean for the future? Well, as we've unpacked in this deep dive, this Texas bill really brings a fundamental tension into sharp focus. On one hand, you have the push for moral values, for acknowledging cultural heritage. On the other, you have these bedrock constitutional principles, separation of church and state, and the need for inclusivity in public institutions.
Exactly. And it's a tension that mirrors much bigger debates in our society, doesn't it? About religion's role in public life, about how we create educational spaces that truly serve everyone in an increasingly diverse country.
Mm-hmm.
It's about more than just what's hanging on a classroom wall. It touches on really fundamental questions about our shared values and the kind of public square or public classroom, in this case, we want to have.
Right. And that's why this matters to you, the listener, wherever you are. This isn't just some isolated Texas issue. It reflects ongoing debates happening everywhere, influencing policies that shape education for millions of kids. So maybe here's a final thought to take with you. How does displaying the Ten Commandments, or really any single religious text, in a public school classroom square with that core goal of education, that goal of fostering an environment where every single student feels valued, feels included, and feels prepared to engage with the complex, pluralistic world we all live in? Something to think about.